The state of New York has sued Valve over loot boxes. Plus, the RAM and storage shortage is now taking it down game archival websites. Tonight is March 1st, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
A hype train on this very nice episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. How are y'all doing? Welcome to, yes, a nice episode. It's episode 969 of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network, welcome. Thanks so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and join in on the hype train if you are still here. We will talk about everybody that contributed to the hype train. You got two more minutes to get us to the next level. But thank you so much. You being here is really all we ask. I did do the company taxes recently. We do actually have, like, legal documents and all that fun stuff so we can be legal. But we do not make a profit off of this. So you being here is great. But, you know, throwing in a sub or some bits on Twitch really does help us, you know, stay above ground and stay above board. And all that fun stuff that comes with being a small business in the United States of America. Anyway, this is not a business podcast. Thankfully, nobody goes on LinkedIn and talks about this podcast, which is great. Yeah, but we are a podcast, so you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week. All the stories that I'm talking about tonight are actually from our Discord server. It was recommended by people on the Discord server. There was also, we did have more talk about what happened last week. More things have come out about the Xbox shakeup, and that apparently Sarah Bond was very unpopular inside Xbox, that she was the one behind the This Is an Xbox campaign, which a lot of people internally apparently didn't like and stuff. So yeah, now there is one person who used to be, who was one of the founders of Xbox, who was there very beginning, believing that at Microsoft's trying to sunset the brand. But, you know, maybe, like, I mean, obviously you still have connections inside a company. And I believe it was Seamus Blackley who said it. I forgot off the top of my head. But he was one of the, like, original, like, 2000, 2001 era Xbox people. Very intelligent dude. But I'm sure he still has contacts within the company. But also some of that can also be conjecture, which is the type of stuff I do, because I am a commentator on the gaming industry, and I don't actually know what's going on inside. But I have been around, so I can kind of see tea leaves on some things when I know about things, but also, but not in this situation. So if you've been following the saga here, I ordered back in December, and I was supposed to get by now a piece of retro computing. It is actually by the company that made the retro computer that I'm talking about, the current zombified version of it, which is very loyal to the original brand. And I'm talking about the Commodore 64. And so the Commodore 64, there is actually a new version of the Commodore 64 out now. It's called the Commodore 64 Ultimate. It is, there was a YouTuber who purchased the Commodore brand and all of its and all of the logos and trademarks and all that stuff from of Commodore Business International, which has been, like, through, like, a bunch of different rights holders over the past few decades, and then took a lot of the FPGA boards out there, one of which was called the Ultimate, and which was a hobbyist kit. You got the Ultimate board, and then you were supposed to get an Commodore 64 bread box, which is the gray thing that everybody remembers when they think of a 64, and you put the Ultimate inside of it, and then it acts as a new Commodore 64 with current parts. And the new Commodore that started up by this YouTuber decided, let me get all of these parts from the community and license them and pay them and actually, like, ship them. And he's, like, all that stuff. And I was I was kind of on the fence, and then they started shipping in December, and the reviews came out, and they're fantastic. So I ordered one. And I have been patiently waiting for mine. And I got a status update last month, and I've been telling y'all, okay, this might be the weekend. This might be the weekend. And it said the status has been en route to your Commodore hub, ETA to you by February 26th. And you will notice that the status date there is March 2nd. So, it hasn't gotten to me yet. I did order what's called the Starlight Edition, which is, if I had ordered any of the other two editions, if I ordered the one that looked basic, like just looked like the beige one that I've, you know, already had a bunch of, I probably would have gotten it last week. Or if I had gotten the Founders Edition, which is gold, I also would have gotten it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. But since I ordered this version that has all the fun light-up stuff, it hasn't gotten to me yet. Now, most likely, and here I am going to jinx myself again, that it will most likely get to me this week, because what I have read on the internets, on where everybody gets their news, Facebook groups. Apparently, what happened is that the boat from China, the editions that I was on didn't finally make it to the Commodore hub, which is basically the place in the U.S. or in whatever country they're shipping to, that they get taken, the pallets get taken to, and then they then use carriers in the country to deliver from there. Apparently that boat finally got to them on February 25th. That had all the Starlight units on it. And that is apparently, that is allegedly in a Facebook group. They actually contacted Commodore and got this information. So hopefully they are putting it on the last mile carriers, and they are using, sometimes they use FedEx, but other times they use other carriers. And I was kind of like, somebody was like, oh yeah, it was sent via this. And I was like, well, that's great. And because, or not great, but it like, I mean, I'm like, at least it's not LaserShip. Because I was like, yeah, you know, because I remember like Amazon would use LaserShip, which is another one of these last mile deliveries, gig economy type stuff. And it would always be, it would never arrive on time, or, you know, there would be damage, or you would never know. And I was like, well, at least they're not using LaserShip. At least they're using a service called OnTrack for some of these, which operates only in 31 states. And I looked them up, and the first thing that comes up, yeah, OnTrack, formerly LaserShip. So if you're like a Pod Culture Even chat says LaserShip Lowe's, well, LaserShip no longer exists. It's called OnTrack now. I don't know if that's the one that they're using for me, because I haven't gotten a tracking number yet. They're kind of using a mix of like a bunch of these like lower budget freight companies to deliver here in the U.S. Sometimes they use FedEx. If they were using FedEx, I would already know because I have the FedEx Inform delivery. But anyway, ZenMonkey11 asked, LaserShip is still around? No, they're called OnTrack now. And I bet it's because that OnTrack company either bought them, or they got a change in leadership and decided to change their name. But no, LaserShip is not around anymore. It's now called ONTRAC. So if you see that, that's LaserShip. But he said, ZenMonkey11 continues, they were so bad. They once gave me my Amazon package after midnight. The guys were so scared to travel at New York City at night. Questper says, we'll change our name and hope no one notices. Well, guess what? I noticed. So I will let you know, once I get it, that's pretty much all I'm going to be talking about. But, ETA by February 26th, which they said was a very conservative estimate. Turns out it wasn't conservative enough. So, but I am still very much looking forward to it. And, I will tell you all about it when I get it. But let's go ahead and talk about some of the news that came out this week. I'll actually get into the news a little bit earlier than I did last time. So let's talk about this first one. All these things came from our Discord server, so thank you so much for helping me. I do everything here myself. I don't have, you know, producers or anybody else that gathers news, so I rely on the community to tell me what they want to talk about. And this was kind of interesting because I also love the Muppets. And this actually is germane to some things we talk about here. It's about VR. And it's about an attraction at Disney that has no longer around, and it's because they're moving the Muppets to something else. And in fact, where they're moving the Muppets today was literally the last day of the old version of that attraction, and they're going to retheme it. So let's talk about the Muppets and what's going to happen to some of the stuff that was at the Disney parks. Daily Dot reports that last year, the Muppet Vision 3D attraction at Hollywood Studios in Florida shut down after nearly 35 years. One thing that made the theme park show special was that it marked the last project Jim Henson worked on before his passing in 1990. Currently, Disney is working on revamping the Rock and Roller Coaster to star the Electric Mayhem, the Muppets house band. But it used to be Aerosmith it's still Aerosmith right now. I don't know when the park closes tonight. I'm not a Disney adult enough to know that. But today is literally the last day. So tonight is going to be the last ride of the Rock and Roller Coaster with Aerosmith. And they're replacing it with the Electric Mayhem, which I personally... if I go on my Disney tangent for 15 seconds, it should have been Powerline from the Goofy movie. I think that fits the vibe there more than the Electric Mayhem. But at least we're still getting some Muppet stuff. This is not a Disney podcast, but should have been Powerline from the Goofy movie. So, and also the Rock and Roller Coaster has three loops, which means I'm never going to ride it. I can't do inversions. I just can't. Tron, thankfully, doesn't have any inversions. It just has some steep banks, so I can ride Tron. But I'm not going to be able to ride the new Muppet one. So anyway, Pop Culture asked, did you watch the new special? It was great. Yes, it was. I loved it. And it was... They basically did the first episode of season 6 of The Muppet Show, just with current people. But it was exactly the way that it should have been. And that's what I've been waiting for many years from them. So thank you. Thank you, Seth Rogen, for making that happen. Go watch it on Disney Plus if you have it, or wherever you watch your material that is on Disney Plus or aired on ABC. And give it a watch, and especially if you have Disney Plus, watch it, because they track how many people watch it. And that tells them how much to budget actually making more of them, because it's kind of a backdoor pilot. They're like, well, is anybody going to be actually interested in this in 2026? And it should. It is. And the thing I liked about the show is it even kept like the stuff like, we're going to do two modern songs and two old songs, because that's what the original Muppet Show did in the 70s. They would do like two songs that were contemporary to the late 70s, early 80s. And then they would do two songs from like the 40s and 50s. And this did that. It did two songs that were contemporary in 2026. And then they did two songs that were 70s and 80s songs. So, So if you used to watch it every day at 7 p.m. on CBS, like ZenMonkey11 says, seriously, go check out the 30-minute Muppet Show backdoor pilot that aired on ABC last month and is on Disney Plus and now. And definitely watch it, because it will remind you of a lot. Anyway, we're talking about Muppet Vision 3D, which is the last thing that Jim Henson worked on before his untimely death in 1990, which was very sad for all of us. And what's going to happen to it now, because it was very unique. It was, if you never did see Muppet Vision 3D, it was one of those polarized glasses 3D things that you see at the parks a lot now. But it also had like a live action Muppet come out, and I'm blanking on his name, the life-size brown Sweetums, I think. I think it was Sweetums, would come out, so they would have a cast member as Sweetums come out. And, you know, there was animatronics. Stoller and Waldorf were animatronics up on the side, so they were, you know, Disney magic. At the end, you know, somebody got cannonballed into the wall behind you, and as you're leaving, you can see the animatronic of that. Anyway, so everybody's like, how am I ever going to see this again? Because, you know, this is pretty important in Muppet lore. According to The Wrap, camera crews captured Muppet Vision 3D at Hollywood Studios, and the show is expected to be released on Apple Vision Pro and other VR headsets. I wanted to highlight that because, you know, the Apple Vision Pro, I have used it for all of like 90 seconds, and it is phenomenal, but it is also out of my price range. It is exactly what you would expect if you paid that much money for a VR headset. It delivers on that. But everybody kind of stops at the Apple Vision Pro part and is like, oh, it's going to be an Apple Vision Pro exclusive. No, it's coming to other VR headsets. When? I have no clue, but if I was Apple, I would make it exclusive for a limited time. However limited that is, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, if I was Apple, I would make it exclusive. But it is, they have already said, it is coming to other VR headsets. So hopefully it comes to Quest. Hopefully it comes to, if the Steam Frame ever comes out, which is now up in the air because of something we're going to talk about later. You know, maybe it'll come to PC VR. Maybe it'll come to PlayStation VR. Who knows? So hopefully, like, I don't know when because they're leading with Apple Vision Pro, it makes sense to think that it's going to be an Apple Vision Pro exclusive for a time. But then after that window, and hopefully the window is not that long, hopefully it's long enough for Apple to get some sales of their headset, because like I said, it is a very impressive piece of hardware, the Apple Vision Pro. It's just out of my price range personally, but it's not out of other people's price range, and so it's great. As Jared and Matt says, the story is Apple invented VR and saved Muppet Vision 3D. Trust me, bro. You know what? And if Apple is paying for that, they're paying for this to be developed, and that way it's exclusive, it's preservation. Plain and simple, it's preservation. And so I can't be mad at preservation. I spent $100 on a piece of plastic that gives me a headache. And I'm like, great, it's preserving everything, the good and the bad. Except Muppet Vision is the good, and the Virtual Boy is not. It's fine. It's fine. So Brian Henson, who is the son of Jim Henson and the current chairman of the Jim Henson Company, did talk about it a little bit. He was asked about it in a Q&A in the office after a show that he was doing. That's because he's not with the Muppets anymore. He kind of does his own thing, but he's obviously still very connected to Muppets and to Disney. The Muppets have been owned by Disney since 2004. But Brian Henson worked a lot of this, and they asked him about Muppet Vision's future and about his opinion on Muppet Vision coming to VR. And he basically said, quote, it's better than it not coming to VR, unquote. He also went on to explain that they did a thorough job capturing the show for the VR experience. He said that users will be able to sit in any seat in the house while watching Muppet Vision, changing up the view, which is something that several other VR theater experiences that you can get. That is something also that they can do. You can choose any seat in the house and, you know, watch. Like there are VR apps, if you use PC VR especially, there are VR apps that do that where you can play a video file, or you can put in a YouTube link, and you can choose any seat in the theater, and it'll even like light up the sides of the theater like you would expect in a real theater based on the video. And VR chat also allows for this as well. VR chat has things where that's a little more than just a theater, but people have made theaters or plazas that you can watch things, and you can even have like YouTube videos synced with, you know, everybody's viewing the YouTube video on their own personal stuff, but it's synced to the timestamp. It's really cool. So that's what they're doing here. And it's good. This was always the rumor, is that they were going to make a VR version. And I do know that Disney does take preservation seriously, especially of their own work, because that is content for the future. And I actually do have a friend who works as in the museums in the Orlando parks. I don't know her exact title, but she was a museum curator elsewhere and then got hired by Disney. She actually goes through and works on a lot of the museum stuff. So the museums in the parks, all of the other stuff that's, you know, not on public display yet, but also, you know, Disney loves to make content about their old stuff. So, you know, this could be a documentary in 5-10 years. So, yeah. And S. Jerry Matt says, just need a friend to shoot you with water. Yeah, hopefully we don't get that. Some people have wanted to have that where, you know, it shoots things at you. But anyway, Muppet Vision 3D, you are going, select people will be able to re-experience it. Let's put it that way. And it will most likely come first to Apple Vision Pro devices. So find a friend who has an Apple Vision Pro and you'll be able to watch it again. And hopefully at some point when they say it's coming to other VR devices, that will be sooner rather than later. But I completely understand if Apple is helping foot the bill because Disney is cash strapped, obviously, then they deserve to have a little bit of running room with it just on their systems. But then, you know, let the Disney adults who can't spend over $1,000 on a VR headset. So let's talk about, so that's kind of one of the happy news, like, you know, that we're getting some game preservation, but we're also losing a lot of game preservation, a lot of archival stuff. So this is kind of piggybacking on something I've been talking about recently, and I've tried to raise the alarm bells on it, and other people have tried to raise the alarm bells on it, and I don't think we realize how bad it's going to get. This is one of the ways that it could be bad. Tom's Hardware reports that Myriant, which is, I think it's a combination of Myriad Entertainment is kind of, but I don't know exactly how you would pronounce it. One of the largest online video game archives has announced that it will shut down on March 31st, 2026. According to the archive's official Telegram page, it's closing the service due to insufficient funding, rising costs, and abusive download managers. The creator said that donations are not keeping a pace with housing costs and that they are paying more than $6,000 out of pocket per month to cover expenses, which is hardly sustainable. Aside from that, RAM, solid-state drive, and hard disk drive prices have been steadily rising due to the AI infrastructure build-out, resulting in higher hosting expenses for Myriant as well. They've all seen this with German data center giant Hertzner, which is hiking prices up 37% starting on April 1st. The archiving site said it needed, quote, necessary upgrades to the storage and caching infrastructure, unquote, which it cannot afford due to the memory chip and storage shortages. The creator also said that abusive users were monetizing Myriant content. Not only did they bypass the donation messages when the site's built-in download protections, but they also added a paywall that defeated the site's policy against paywalls. So you could pay another company to download things off of Myriant's website, and they got nothing out of it. And, you know, so, yeah, so $6,000 a month is a lot when you're not a business making a lot of money. And people obviously weren't donating because why pay for something when you can just get it for free? Right? Like, the whole point of having an archival site is you're not paying for it. Right? Like, so, of course, why would you donate money toward it? So, Orange Wright says, as someone who just got into retro achievements, this is a big loss. Yes, a lot of the stuff it hosted, it was archival stuff, and it was things like, you know, patches and things that you could use put on your ROMs that you obviously legally got to be able to work with retro achievements, the hooks that retro achievements needs to give an achievement system in those old NES games and things like that. So that is going to be a big loss. There are other game archival sites out there, and this was not hosted in the U.S. This was somewhere, I believe actually it is in Germany. I don't know if it is the same German data center that was referenced in the article, but I believe it's hosted in Germany or something like that. And this is happening everywhere. And I know that, you know, we've had a conversation in our Discord. It's like, oh, just, you know, storage is easy. You just go get a new hard drive. Yeah, you're not going to be able to soon. Like, Western Digital has already said, every hard drive they're going to produce this year has already been spoken for. They are not putting any new hard drives out into the market for you to buy or for smaller companies to buy. Darkhall says people have to download all that archive. It will take some time, but given the number of people out there, they can save this archive. I mean, all the stuff's out there elsewhere, but I believe it's what three. Questbusters used it. I think it's 360 terabytes is how large this archive is. That's a lot. And hard drives are not as cheap as they were just 6 months ago. And I'm not talking solid state. I'm talking like platters, hard drive platters, because those are very useful in a server farm. And we are building out so much server infrastructure that there's not enough factories in the world to make what they're already paid for and make things that people haven't paid for yet. Questmaster says, while a lot of things can be found with a little digging elsewhere, like the Internet Archive, it was hugely useful as a centralized place that collected everything from translated ROMs of JRPGs that never left Japan to firmware for ancient hardware like the Vectrex. 390 terabytes is what PodCulture says. Yeah. This is a loss for game preservation. It is a loss for other people as well, but it's also something you're going to see a lot more. Because hard drives don't last forever, especially if they're in a server, and especially if they're being used 24/7, like most websites are. And as much virtualization and cloud is out there, you got to realize something. The cloud is just someone else's computer. Somebody has to have the RAM and have to have the storage to be able to run those that cloud server. And if you're the cloud server that your website is on is not running an AI, LLM, neural network, then guess what? The people who make RAM and the people who make hard drives aren't interested in selling anything to you. And S. Jeremy Matt says, those factories being built to build more stuff already have their future allocated production for that stuff. So Western Digital came out and said, we have literally sold all of our production for the year 2026 of our hard drives. Like I said, the platters. This is not your solid states. Hard drives, which are great when you're not like actively gaming, which is most people. Like if it's just a movie server, works just fine with regular hard drives. They've said their entire production run of hard drives for the year 2026 already been purchased by 7 companies. 3 of those companies, their purchase order continues into 2027. And 2 of those companies continue into 2028. And Western Digital already has their money. So there is nothing incentivizing Western Digital to sell you a hard drive. They don't need your money. They already got OpenAI's money. They already got Meta's money. They already got Google's money. They already got Microsoft's money. They don't need your money. Questmaster says Backblaze, which is a cloud storage company, publishes a report every so often detailing the failing rates for drives, which is interesting to look through to give an idea of how many drives they burn through and have to replace. I was a system administrator for a real estate company. We did real estate websites. We didn't sell real estate. We sold websites to real estate agents and stuff. And we had all our stuff in a colocation facility, which is basically a server farm. And we would have we had a computer that housed all the home photos, and it was 10 hard drives in a big RAID array. And yeah, about, every couple months, I had to replace one of those hard drives and rebuild the array. And like, we didn't lose any data, but like it, when you are running your entire company and all the photos are on that server, you're eventually going to, have to replace a hard drive. That's just how things work. If you're not using it 24/7, you can get that hard drive to last longer. But then even then, stuff happens. There's still mechanical stuff in there, and it's going to be much harder or much more expensive to get a replacement for your hard drive. And Tigerclaw says hard drives in a RAID aren't backups, considering the issues will happen in the future or you need backup for it. Most people's backup drives are RAID arrays, dude. Like, hard drives are not backups. Here's the thing. I guess what is a backup then? If a hard drive cannot be a backup, like, are you talking about like we need to all get like mechanical tape arrays or the cloud? Because I guarantee you, backing up to the cloud, it just backs up to a hard drive in a RAID array. That's all it's doing. Direclaw's like, you need a backup of a backup. But if a hard drive can't be a backup, then a hard drive cannot be the backup of your backup, right? As Sharon Matt says, there isn't any game that is in early access where you manage a data center. I mean, like, data centers have been around forever. Like, I have no problem with data centers because that's where all my stuff is stored. And I've worked in a data center and had to, put in, hardware in racks and all that stuff. The AI infrastructure build out, which is how this article termed it, is going to cause a lot of shortages. And even some consumer electronics makers have really said there's going to be a lot of consumer electronics companies that are going to go out of business this year because they're not going to be able to manufacture their product anymore because they can't get their product. And we're not just talking TVs. We're talking like kitchen appliances because, unfortunately, the drive has been let's make them all smart. Well, you need and the smart technology is why they're cheaper, because they get your data, which is more valuable than your money. That's why all the TVs are cheaper now and bigger. It's because they get your data and that's more valuable than your money. So they're willing to make less money so they can get your data, and then they make the money off of the data of your habits. But because of this push to make everything smart, now everything needs memory, everything needs storage, and the AI data centers are taking all that away, so they can't make any more of that product. So maybe, if you want to look at a glass half full, this may bring the return of dumb appliances that don't connect to the internet, that aren't smart, that don't have RAM, that don't have storage. Wouldn't that be nice? But I would rather not have AI data centers drive up the price of RAM and storage than to have dumb appliances. ZenMonkey11 says, I'm looking at my new Samsung 4K TV suspiciously now. You should. Because, you don't know what's on it. And it updates. They could turn off your TV. They could be like, oh, sorry. This update broke your TV. You can't watch TV until we do this update. And some of them have cameras in them, because they're watching your viewing habits. And that's why your data, your future data, is subsidizing the cost. If you are worried about storage, the best backup of pictures is a printer. And print them out and put them in photo albums. That is the best backup. And S. Jared and Matt even says, we have several copies of our wedding photos, one including in print, another on a thumb drive that my brother has. Yes, I've done the same. So anyway, it does suck about this website going down, but it is only going to be the first of several. It's going to be the first of many because, frankly, the industry right now does not want to host websites. They want to run AI. They want to run AI. They want to gather your data because your data is worth a lot of money. Your data is worth more than your money. And yes, I wish I could find a dumb TV. I have dumb TVs in the house. I don't have any smart TVs, but they're also all like 15 to 20 years old. And you literally cannot buy a dumb TV anymore. You can buy a dumb monitor, but 65-inch monitors are crazy expensive. And the reason they're expensive is because they don't get your data. And remember, your data is more valuable than your money. And if they can't get your data, they're going to want more of your money. But if you want a TV, every single one of them is smart, and they're even starting to make them where they do not work without an internet connection. Because I could, there are TVs that you can find that are like, I'm never going to connect you to the internet. Just take me to my HDMI port and leave me be. And there are some that'll do that, but there's less and less of them. Last story that we're going to talk about this week. Once again, brought into our Discord server. Thank you so much for this, for talking about that. And Reuters reports that New York's attorney general sued Valve, a video game developer whose franchises include Counter-Strike, Team Fortress, and Dota, accusing it of promoting illegal gambling and threatening to attract children through its use of loot boxes. In a complaint filed on Wednesday in a state court in Manhattan, Attorney General Letitia James said Valve's loot boxes amounted to quintessential gambling, violating the state's constitution and penal law, with valuable items often hard to win and many items worth pennies. Valve, based in Bellevue, Washington, did not immediately respond to requests for comments. Loot boxes let players use real money to buy chances to win virtual items, such as decorations for characters and weapons, in an effort to convey status. James said Valve generated billions of dollars of revenue by selling keys to open loot boxes, including in one game where the process resembled a slot machine as a wheel whirred through various items before stopping. The attorney general said key sales advanced Valve's unusual business model of letting players sell items they want on its virtual marketplace, Steam Community Market, and on other marketplaces. The complaint says, quote, Valve's loot boxes are particularly pernicious because they are popular among children and adolescents, unquote. Children introduced to gambling by age 12 are four times more likely to become problem gamblers as adults, the complaint added, citing the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. James is seeking restitution for players plus a fine of three times Valve's alleged illegal gains. Loot boxes for video games have been the subject of other regulatory actions. In January 2025, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission fined Singapore-based Cognosphere, the maker of Genshin Impact, $20 million for deceiving children and others about the odds of winning valuable loot box prizes. Children under 16 were also blocked from buying loot boxes without parental consent. Cognosphere, doing business as Hoyoverse, did not admit wrongdoing, according to the FTC. So, New York is going after, once again, and this is kind of a pattern we're seeing. In terms of the players in the gaming industry, Valve is the one with the shallowest pockets, which is wild to think when, you know, Valve has all this money and, you know, is so ubiquitous in the PC gaming space. They are literally the lowest hanging fruit of all of the companies that do this. And so they are the easiest ones to go after because they may not be able to afford the lawyers that a Microsoft can, the lawyers that a Sony can, the lawyers that even a Hoyoverse can. They're just Valve. And this is why they're also going up, you know, UK, there's a class action lawsuit against them about the 30% fee that they take from every purchase on the store, which Google does, Apple does, Microsoft does, Sony does, Nintendo does, everybody does it, but they all have deeper pockets. If they can get a judgment against Valve, then they have more leverage to go after the people with larger pockets and better lawyers, because then they will have precedence. So that's why New York's going after Valve, even though EA also has loot boxes for a lot of their stuff. And, you know, so Valve is the easiest way. Valve is easier to go after than EA. Fifth Dream says, wow, the Hoyoverse is a front for an evil corporation. I mean, yeah, like that's what the FTC said. Now, Hoyoverse disagrees, but they still paid the $20 million. Loot boxes, absolutely, they do have gambling imagery in them, and I get that part. And I'm not sure. And it, the other part of this also is that there is such an underground market for Steam items. It's pretty predatory. Now, that's not Valve. But because you can trade items in Steam, there are markets inside Steam that Valve does run. That's the Steam Community Market. But then there's other markets, just like there are WoW gold markets where you buy gold and then you meet up a character in game, and there's not much Blizzard can do about that. And it's those markets that are probably exasperating the predatoriness of these loot boxes. Now, as Sharon Matt asks, is this the beginning of the end of loot boxes as a concept? I don't think so, because loot boxes have been under attack for like 10 years by several governments. I know the EU has done that with Madden, or, well, really with EAFC Ultimate Team, or FIFA Ultimate Team. Not really Madden, even though Madden also has Ultimate Team, but the EU is going after FIFA. They've already kind of done that, but loot boxes are still here. And they still use slot machine imagery. I mean, hell, Forza Horizon uses slot machine sounds and stuff for when you're, you know, cashing in your tickets. But you can't buy those really for real money. But it's I don't think it's the beginning of the end, because if it was the beginning of the end, it would have already started. Because this is absolutely not the first time a company has been gone after for using loot boxes. OG Happy Dude in chat says, what I don't understand is these loot boxes have the same chance of status like TCG packs that are going for $40 a pack for Magic the Gathering cards. Once again, this is the low-hanging fruit. I'm sure that New York would love to say, okay, we've got the judgment against Valve. Now we can go against Hasbro for Magic the Gathering. Now we can go after the Pokemon Company for Pokemon cards. Or, you know, whoever for Lorcana or whatever. And then they can go after EA for, you know, Madden Ultimate Team. They can go after, you know, more things, but they need the first judgment first, and they've, I guess, decided that Valve is the easiest target right now. And then once they get the judgment against Valve, they can use that and say, oh, look, in New York v. Valve, this is the opinion, so this is legal precedent. Let's continue. And S. Jaron and Matt says, they'll ban loot boxes, but the news report that will report the story will be brought to you by insert sports betting site. And that's another thing. And, you know, this is, you know, here we go. Pod culture's already rolling his eyes into the back of the head because we just mentioned sports. That is a huge problem, in my opinion, is the ubiquitousness of sports betting, of doing these silly, even where sports betting is illegal, you can use these sports betting sites and win money because you don't bet on the outcome of the game. You bet on stupid things like in the sports game, in the sports telecast. Will the announcers ever say the word safety? I have a family member who lost money because he bet that the announcers would never say the word safety during the broadcast. And completely forgetting that one of the actual positions in football is called a free safety. And so they talked about the free safety doing a move, and so he lost that. But it's everywhere. Like the regional sports network that used to carry my baseball team, they don't anymore, but they're still here, they cover other things, is literally named for a sports betting website. Some stadiums are literally named for the sports betting company. And it is geared towards teenagers. Because, and they're everywhere, and you get the odds on ESPN or whatever. You get the odds on social media sites where, you know, you look up, you know, social media, and you're like, oh, well, what are the posts about this game? And they're like, oh, and here's the odds from this betting website. I actually believe that even though, yes, I do believe loot boxes going to children and being marketed to children is a problem, I do believe that the sports betting is a larger one. And I kind of wish, as much as I also will say, we can be upset about both things at the same time, you know, porque no los dos. And yes, absolutely. But government attention and things like this is a finite resource. It is not infinite. So we can, in our hearts, be worried about both. But I think that the sports betting is a bigger battle. Now, that being said, guess who has deeper pockets than Valve? Those sports betting websites. So maybe they are trying to say, well, if we get this judgment against Valve, we can also go after the sports betting websites. Questbuster also pointed out something, and I saw this very recently, and this is pretty sad. The Escapist, you remember The Escapist? Technically, I actually did work with The Escapist like 20 years ago. Back at the old network, we did something with The Escapist. I actually worked with Russ Pitts, who was one of the editors there. We're talking like in the late 2000s. So technically, I've worked on stuff with The Escapist. The Escapist was recently hit with another round of layoffs. This is according to Questbuster. And they also have a YouTube channel that basically posted zero punctuation, essentially. Yahtzee, Croshaw, zero punctuation. That was what made them all the money. But for the past few months, it's been nothing but slot machine slop, which some blame the new owners over. And so what happened with The Escapist and happened with other websites like Adventure Gamers, if you like that one, it was about point and click adventure games, is that they, because of a series of acquisitions, they're now owned, I think it's ClickUp Media or something like that. And what they are a Bitcoin, or they are a cryptocurrency gambling company. And they buy these verified websites like The Escapist, like Adventure Gamers, like, you know, several of these other sites. And then basically, because of the way that Google's SEO works, if you are a trusted site in Google, your anything that is linked on your trusted site is treated higher in their algorithms. So this company will buy these very successful sites, very trusted sites, and put their links to their slot machine and their online casinos and their Bitcoin casinos on these websites. And it takes a while for Google to catch on that, hey, there's been a change of ownership. This site is no longer as trusted as it used to be. Once Google figures that out, then the new company just shutters the website. But right now, it's still useful, and that's what's going on with The Escapist. Now, at The Escapist, the thing that made the most money was Zero Punctuation, which was a video series that was uploaded to YouTube, and that is what got most of their, pretty much all of their YouTube monetization came from, was Zero Punctuation videos. But if you do not continue to post on YouTube, YouTube will pull your monetization, so you will no longer be monetized. So what the new owners had to do was they had to put videos up on the channel to keep their monetization status. And what they did is they have made compilations of people playing online casinos and making big wins, and they have uploaded them to the Escapist YouTube channel to keep it alive. And that's what so that's what happened to The Escapist. It's also what happened to Adventure Gamers, where they have decided that the best adventure in gaming is casino gaming. And so they're like, yeah, we still talk about adventure games like Red Dead Redemption, but Adventure Gamers was about like the old Sierra, Lucasfilm, the point and click, interactive fiction, those type of games. And they still have some of that on there, but really it exists because it's a trusted site in Google and they can link their casino ads, and it will get higher in the Google search results because it is a trusted website. So Dark Soccer says, start reporting. Yes. Start reporting all that stuff. But if you were a fan of The Escapist, Second Wind is basically everybody from The Escapist that basically they all left like 2 years ago because the owners, got fired the editor-in-chief who had been with The Escapist for like 18 years, and like the entire team, including Yahtzee Groshaw, left with them. And so Second Wind is where they all are. And Zero Punctuation is still owned by The Escapist. And in fact, The Escapist still sells Zero Punctuation merch. They still sell the merch. It's fully Ramblematic, I think, is the new Zero Punctuation, which is the exact same thing, just with, some different animated characters and, a different name. It's red instead of yellow. Its color scheme is red instead of yellow, but it's the same thing. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we are going to check in and see what Orange Lounge Radio is going to be talking about, but I do need to rest my voice for just a little bit. Don't worry, on the podcast, it's going to be like 5 seconds, and then I'll be back. But thank you so much. We'll be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
That's right. I was chosen to play some pinball, I guess. Whenever it comes out. I'll get to play it soon, hopefully. The Pokemon Pinball Table from Stern. Hopefully it's coming to an arcade near me. Sometime this month. I think their launch party is later this month. So I will be able to try it then, or I will try it in a convention a little bit later on. So normally I take calls, but no, I like to talk too much. My timing has gotten worse over the years. The music break usually is supposed to happen sometime between 8:30 and 8:40 Eastern, and that did not happen. So we're not going to take calls. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio 2DX. It's three people to talk about more than just gaming, about geek stuff for longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on. OLR, are you there?
I'm somewhere.
There you are. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing quite well. I did very geeky things today, and then okay. I did a non-geeky thing.
What were the geeky things you did today?
I did video editing. Lots of video editing.
Yeah.
And then I hoed with a hoe.
Oh, there you go. see, I can rhyme too. We got this. We got this. What do we do about loot boxes?
I don't know. I honestly, I kind of like how Fortnite's thing is, just like, you have the set path and you open it as you go. I mean, I think that having the, what do they call them? Because Dead by Daylight calls it something different, like the
blind box
tome or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's like, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You just have to earn your stuff to get those things or do, I mean, just go back to having stuff drop epic loot. I mean, it worked forever for WoW.
Yeah.
You know, and then it made the old stuff, you know, that, oh, this isn't good anymore. But it made it count because you then had your transmogrification. So you could reuse at least them cosmetically.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, my goat girl is running around looking fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's Battle Pass. I think Oshi Happy Dude was
Battle
like,
Pass.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Everybody calls it something different. But yeah, but like, but while just dropping epic loot is great, the problem is that these companies will tell you, which is their problem, not shouldn't be our problem, is that how are they going to make more money if you can't just buy
That's
the
their
shit?
Problem.
I know, and they decided that the loot boxes was the way to do it, and as much as we, and I'm talking like we in the sense of the people that are in this community, you and me and the people in the chat room, games are not just for children. So many adults play games, and but a lot of people who don't play games do still assume that because it's the term game and it's the verb play, mm-hmm. that it's for children. And that's...
Play slot machines, right?
Yeah. I mean, the gambling industry, they call themselves the gaming industry. The casino, like they literally do, like the casino, the people that make video slot machines, they literally do call themselves the gaming industry. They're just a different gaming industry than what we think of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to make the money and the problem is, you know, having it be a random chance to get something good, why not just have an online store that, you know, you can either spend the points that you've earned or buy points, and you can buy whatever you want out of the store and you know what you're going to get. But the problem is what makes loot boxes attractive is the chance. It's the gamble. Yeah. It's figuring the system, and you take away that challenge and it's not going to be as attractive. It's what was the comedian, but he would always, Lewis Black said it, that it's the feeling of anticipation that you enjoy more than the event itself. And this is very true. And what they're doing is they're selling an emotion.
Yeah.
And maybe it has a payoff to that. Maybe it doesn't, but they are, they're making money off of basic human psychology.
Yeah. And that's why they have psychologists on staff to figure out how to keep you addicted to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not just that. I mean, just about any company that has anything to do with, you know, almost anything like that has even medical consultants, like physical medical consultants, because not just the psychology of it, but, you know, you have that dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And exactly what SSJ100 Matt said. You have the dopamine hit. And it really is. I mean, here's my thought. I know that gambling in the outside video game world, for the most part, has devastating effects on people, on the people around them.
Yeah.
However, I also believe that adults are responsible for their decisions, ideally, or they should be responsible for it. And I think that if someone's family is suffering because of somebody, you got to take that tough love approach to it. You cut them off and you get them help.
Yep.
And I know that's difficult and hard, especially with subtlest things happen. And I understand wanting to curb that kind of emotional dependency before it becomes habit. But that's not going to stop it.
No.
If people has an addictive personality, they're going to keep going.
Yeah. They're just going to find something else to be addicted to. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to start with the root of the issue, and that starts internally. Yeah.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX tonight?
He-Man.
Ooh. All right.
He-Man. Buy my toys. Every time we watch the intro of He-Man, when he punches the screen, we all go, PUN! bench. And we have some stuff about music games as Orange Lounge's, you know, origins.
Yep.
And some zombies.
Okay.
And sushi.
All right. Well, don't punch your screen because then you won't be able to watch Orange Lounge Radio 2DX, which is up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Hopefully talking about my Commodore 64 Ultimate that, you know, was supposed to get to me by February 26th. And here it is, the status date of tomorrow. It's still en route to the hub. It hasn't even been shipped to me. But hopefully by next Sunday, I will basically just be talking about the Commodore 64 Ultimate and what it is and what it can do and what I've been doing with it. I've talked about it a lot on the show, but I hadn't had one in my hands, and I hopefully will have it in my hands sometime this week. But you can also find me on social media at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Blue Sky, at BobbyBlackWolf on Instagram, and on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. You will probably see pictures of the Commodore 64 when it comes in, and you'll be able to see that stuff when it comes there. So you can also talk to us over there on the Discord server. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. You being here is really all we ask. That is amazing. That's what we do this for. But we are also a business, and just, you know, paying the legal costs of still being a business is literally all we do. We're not like taking trips. We're not buying ourselves anything. We're literally just keeping ourselves above board. Means a lot. So I wanted to shout other people. We did get a hype train earlier tonight. Thank you so much for that. Tiger Claw resubscribed. Thank you so much. Saying just resubscribed. Dark Sakura gifted 5 subs to the community. So congratulations, Steven Van Dam, Looney Bard, Little Cupcake Killer, Jobot TV 68K, and Jay Gaz Mom. Thank you. Congratulations on your gift sub. Enjoy the ad free viewing. S Jared Matt cheered 250 bits saying choo choo. Sean 322 cheered 200 bits saying hoip. And Dark Sakura later on gifted a sub to That Shadow X. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Hope you enjoy OLR 2DX. Coming up next, once I hit the button and not hit the right mouse button, it's the left mouse button that makes that song start. So, all right. Thank you so much for being here. And don't buy any loot boxes this week. That's all I'll ask. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.